Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
I am so happy to be back on the ground, Sydney.
Well, me too, Justin. Were you jumping a lot earlier?
Well, no, sweetheart. We took you. This is like, I mean, I've heard of like playing dumb to help the bit go forward, but like we were in the plane together.
Like last week.
Yeah, the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, we took some flights to New York.
It's just a lot has happened since then. You know, I'm a busy woman. I've got a lot
making
going on.
Deals.
I'm out there making deals, closing deals.
Closing deals, chopping them up and spitting them out.
Yeah.
But we you know,
that's
we,
what doctors do.
We flew to New. Well, you do chop them up, I guess. Sometimes.
No, I mean, I'm not a surgeon. If I'm chopping people up, that's.
Surgeon, doctor,
you
same
should
thing.
Probably put me in jail.
Surgeons and doctors are the same thing, basically.
Well, I mean, yes, but. Anyway.
Glad we agree. We had a rough flight going in because the weather was super bad. It was like I heard somebody got hurt going into New York.
Not on our plane,
but like from the turbulence, it was really rough.
It was scary, except that I know the trick now on a plane, which is you just look at the flight attendant.
Yeah, you look at the flight attendant. That's a secret. Yeah.
And the flight attendant, for the most part, although they don't look scared, and so that's your way of knowing, like, don't be scared. The flight attendant's not scared. But did you hear the flight attendant on the on that one flight saying that he makes faces to mess with people?
That's awesome. That's great.
Like, sometimes there'll be turbulence, and he'll just make, like, this really horrified, shocked face and, like, look around because he knows.
I'm so into it. Like, but
no,
like,
I think that's terrible.
No,
I think that's an abuse of power.
No, that's amazing because if you get out of that alive, that, like, it's like in Fight Club, like, the breakfast you have the next morning will be the greatest meal you ever eat. It's like you'll really appreciate the little things.
How would you like that if I did that to if you were my patient and I just got like your lab results back and I said like, let me pull them up and look at them, and like I pull them up and look at them and I just like, yeah. Like, oh,
that can't be right,
because that's how people react when they're scared, right?
See, now I gotta turn your mic down because you're I didn't know you were going to get Randy Macho Man Savage on me, bringing those decibels, the decies, as we call them in the audio engineering industry.
Sorry about that.
But it wasn't the worst flight I've ever had, certainly not. The worst one I ever had was one time I got a nosebleed on a flight, and I had nothing.
The worst flight I ever had was when I got a nosebleed.
And no, it was really, embarrassing, because like, I didn't have anything. I had to call the stewardess over, and she looked, because we were about to take off, we hadn't taken off yet, and she looked at me like I was like a flight risk, like, do I need to go back to the airport because of my terrible nosebleed?
Because you can't handle flying.
One time,
like, we got a nosebleeder on the plane.
One time I was
we don't have SkyMall for him to use to mop it up anymore.
I miss SkyMall. One time I had a I was working the polls as like an election official. And
if you can believe they trusted Justin to do that, they did.
I got a nosebleed during that, and they, a lady, and I was like, just, you know, I was attending to my nosebleed, and this lady comes up.
For those of you at home, Justin just like put his finger up his nose, right?
I mean,
that moment, as if that's how you attend to a nosebleed. You just like cram your middle finger up your nostril.
And she looks at me and she says, can I get someone else to help me vote? You've been fooling with a nosebleed. <It's> like, okay, lady. All right. That's fine. That's how you want to play it.
I don't like you nosebleeders involved in the electoral process. It makes me very nervous. So, Justin, other than, you know, having them, what do you know about nosebleeds?
It is a is a source of great mystery to me. I know what to do if I get one.
Okay.
I know that it is often caused by, like, dry conditions. They seem to be more prevalent.
Yep.
I know that if they don't stop, you're trouble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good point to make about bleeding of any kind from any site on your body, really, is that if it doesn't stop, you're in trouble.
That's bad. So that's it.
Why don't I tell you some more about nosebleeds?
Please do, Sydney, because I do get them from time to time, and I'd like to know more.
Yeah, so I do want to thank you for helping inspire this topic, because you get them. Mm-hmm. So thank you for getting nosebleeds, I guess. Also, I want to thank Cheryl and Joel, as well as Derek, for suggesting this topic.
The nosebleed kids, they call them.
Yes, Cheryl, Joel, and Derek, the nosebleed kids. And Justin. In that club, too. Nosebleeds, you know, probably have been around for as long as people have had both noses and blood.
So at least 6,000 years.
We'll say that. That's fine. I'll leave that alone. It makes sense then that we have writings about nosebleeds back to the time of the ancient Greeks, because again, you know, people had noses back then, presumably. Mm-hmm. I don't have any reason to think they didn't have noses.
No.
But nosebleeds weren't always seen as a bad thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a belief for a long time that bleeding from anywhere, and specifically from your nose, may just be a way of purifying yourself. Like your body was getting rid of blood it didn't need.
Oh, my God.
Because you had some sort of illness or something spiritually wrong, you know, within you, and so you would just bleed, and then that would make things better, which makes sense if you think about a long, long tradition of bleeding somebody or, you know, mm-hmm. leeching somebody in order to fix them. Spontaneous bleeding may just be your body taking care of it on its own.
Well, there is a certain logic to it if you don't know anything about anything, because most of the things that get, like, expelled from your body, that was what you did want to happen. Breathing out bugs, poo poo, pee pee, it's all supposed to come out. It's like good that it's coming out. Almost think about it, like anything.
Okay, well, that's
almost
fair.
Almost anything that came out of your body liquid wise it's because it was supposed to.
Okay, I think that's a fair point.
So you can follow the through line is what I'm saying,
because you didn't know that you had, like, at a given moment, you have a finite amount of blood.
Right.
I mean, granted, you're going to make more, but like you're not going to make it instantly. So at that moment, there's only so much you have, but you wouldn't know that.
Right. I'm just saying we see most of the things that get expelled from your body, it is ideal. You did want that to happen. There's very little get back in there, you know?
There was also a thought that, in addition to it maybe being beneficial, that maybe it was just the result of, like, exercising too much. It was thought that if you exert yourself too hard, you might just get a nosebleed.
No, I get nosebleeds, so it's not that.
It was a sign to, like chill out, relax more, or maybe that you were too...
That's how they came up with Joe Cool.
Joe Cool.
It was Snoopy, and then he just had, like, blood gushing out of his nose. Like, hey, chill.
It was a campaign to stop nosebleeds.
Don't have a cow, man.
You also might get a nosebleed if you were too sexually excited, which is like that just paints the picture for me of, like, the saddest kid in school, like the mm-hmm. saddest high schooler who's like. Sees, like, there's that moment, like, in the old, like, 80s movies where, like, you would see, like, the girl you like, and, like, the music would play real slow, and they'd be like, you know, and then you'd see her, and, like, her hair's blowing, and then, like, blood's gushing out. It could be seen as a sign of anything, like, from, like, a sign that you were in love to a sign that you were about to die. So pretty much like
kind of running the gamut there, old timey dudes.
Nobody really knew how to interpret them. Hippocrates did describe ways of stopping them. Very practical ways, just like stick something up your nose and make the bleeding stop.
Congrats, Hippocrates.
So, which, as we'll discuss, isn't really too much different than what we do nowadays.
Yeah.
The Assyrians also wrote similar devices. Scribonius Largus from the first century spoke of a device that you could use that would plug up your nasal passage, but also had like a hollow tube through the middle mm-hmm. so that you could breathe through it.
Okay.
I mean, that's a good idea, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you got two nostrils and like a mouth.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But sure. There were other ancient cures that involved, like, generally for stopping bleeding. Anything that was bleeding, they would tell you to put something cold on it that was thought to stop bleeding. Or applying pressure, which, as we know now, is, like, the best thing to do for bleeding. So that wasn't a terrible idea. But then it ran the gamut from that to, like, if somebody's bleeding, you should, like, dump, like, put them in a bathtub and keep dumping ice-cold water on them until their limbs turn green.
What?
And then just bathe their head in limestone water and vinegar.
No. I would say no, don't.
No. Well, yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I've never seen somebody get so cold that their limbs turn green.
No, that sounds made up. Maybe they made that one up. Maybe that was a funny joke.
Is it funny?
Not like for those,
like,
times it was.
Not like ha-ha funny.
This was a time before, there was a point in history that somebody was like, why did the chicken cross the road? And everybody was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then the person said, to get to the other side. And everybody thought they were like a comedy legend, like Don Rickles level funny. This is a time before that time. So yeah. Like, it don't take much. It don't take much.
Yeah, my favorite joke involves chickens.
Yeah.
Have I told my favorite joke before?
Go ahead. I'll make time.
Why does a chicken coop have two doors?
Why does a chicken coop have two doors, Sydney?
Because if it had four, it would be a chicken sedan.
Crushed it.
That's my favorite joke.
Crushed it. Also, by the way, never noticed before, pretty sure chicken coops have one door. Just the one, I think.
I mean, like, they probably have a front and a back door.
Really? You think for it?
I have no idea.
Convenient egress for the chickens?
I don't know. It's the just to leave the joke alone, okay? It's my favorite. Why do you have to pick apart my favorite joke?
It's fine the way it is.
Other things that they may have used for nosebleeds in ancient times. Cupping. Are you familiar with that? The cupping?
Yeah. Where you light a match under a candle and it creates suction by...
Well, not a candle, just like a
cup. No. Like a, you light
remove
a
remove the oxygen from something and then put it on your back to create suction and it... creates these awful rings.
It hurts you and
bloody areas, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't
do that.
It's
like a hickey from a fishbowl. Like a fishbowl.
It's a hickey from a fishbowl.
Yeah. Tiny fishbowl.
That sounds like a great, like, album title. A hickey from a fishbowl.
Huey Lewis the News presents.
The ancient Egyptians would use a mixture of papyrus ash and vinegar and just kind of plug up whatever was bleeding, which, I mean, I guess that would probably work. Dried cannabis has been used.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Sure. Leek oil mixed with vinegar and manna, because that's readily available.
And I always wanted to eat manna.
Really?
Like manna from heaven, you know, like when they... They would show it in like cartoon, like biblical cartoons in Sunday school and stuff.
No, I didn't watch a lot of biblical cartoons.
Yeah,
myself,
no, I'm like, trust me on this one. They would always have cartoons about like manna falling from heaven, and it always looked like the best. It looked like ground up clouds of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and
really?
I was like super wanted to eat manna. It was everywhere.
I always assumed it would look like white blobs.
Yeah, in like, but I think they have like magical, like heavenly sparkles on them, and it made it look like a cinnamon sugar dusting from the cinnamon sugar.
That sounds better than what I imagined manna to be.
Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah,
Which is more like this mushy turnip, is what I always kind of.
Don't ruin manna for me.
There's a stone that is thought to be helpful against any kind of bleeding, and specifically against nosebleeds. Bloodstone or heliotrope was thought to stop bleeding if you would just get the stone really cold and then hold it up against whatever was bleeding. Eventually it would stop.
Maybe, I mean, if it's like pressure, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess if you're applying pressure, but that wasn't the thought process behind bloodstone.
Sure,
it was that it was a magical stone that would stop bleeding. Plus, the benefit of that, though, if you decide to use heliotrope, is that, you know, not only will it stop your nosebleed, supposedly, it's very stimulating to your base and heart chakras, which Justin, if you know one thing about me, it's that I'm very concerned with that. And it will also teach you how to travel invisibly between worlds and negotiate different realms.
What are you talking about?
Because
right
it has shape-shifting properties.
No, what are you talking about?
We have to do a show about crystals and healing rocks someday.
So much. That's my new, by the way, that's like my new YouTube heat, by the way. Oh, people talking earnestly about crystals is like, That's my new, it's like my new makeup tutorials.
I found this from like a magical, like, crystal and healing rock and stuff.
Grocery hauls, makeup tutorials,
just endless
candle reviews. That's that old stuff. I'm onto those crystal videos now. Earnest crystal videos. And not Ernest as in, hey, Vern, it's Ernest. Oh, talk about crystals, Vern. No, not like that. Like people speaking super honestly about raising their energy. Ugh. Delectable.
Okay. In relation to the four humors, moving on from crystals and Justin's YouTube videos, video obsessions. In relation to the four humors, any kind of bleeding, you know, we kind of talked about, like, may have been seen as, like, a natural thing that the body needs to do to balance out the humors. But if you did see it as a bad thing, then you would just use some other method to try to get those humors in alignment. So, mm-hmm. like, you're getting a nosebleed, have this enema.
Okay.
Because your day isn't bad enough already.
All right, then.
Here's a special diet, or here's something that will make you puke or pee, or maybe... you're having a nosebleed, we want it to stop, so we will bleed you.
Oh,
somewhere else.
I mean, that will work eventually.
Yeah, well, I mean, you won't have a return client.
No.
Like, you're going to lose the return business there.
No, that's true.
Pliny the Elder had a lot to say about nosebleeds.
No.
Of course. For one, he saw them as an important regular, like... you know, like a regular bleeding for humans. Kind of like, you know how sometimes we're supposed to have forest fires? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's... like, sometimes a fire is supposed to happen. Like, it's like a healthy, healthy
like
thing
a natural,
for an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Is like, I guess he saw nosebleeds kind of like that. Like, every once in a while, you just need to have a bleeding. And for men specifically, it was seen as like a vicarious menstruation. Like, men don't menstruate, instead they get nosebleeds. And then there was a belief that, like, at puberty, just like women would start having their periods, men would just bleed maybe once a year, like, from their nose.
No, maybe.
It was even a reason not to actually do, like, bleeding or leeching on men and women who are about to approach puberty, because the thought was like, well, they're going to start getting their nosebleeds soon, and that's going to take care of it, so don't worry about it. In which case, that was kind of helpful.
Yeah.
And it was thought that even in that light, if you didn't get nosebleeds, you might get headaches or joint pains or other kinds of issues because mm-hmm. you needed the nosebleeds for something, you know, useful. Mm-hmm. There was also this belief that Pliny agreed with, that sometimes you could divert menstrual bleeding to the nose by, like, it's same way that they, you know, and then the fake disease hysteria, they would, like, move the uterus back into place.
Yeah, okay.
By, like, holding a pleasing scent towards the end of the body, you want the uterus
lure
to move
down
towards
there.
Or,
yeah.
or whatever, or a bad scent to move it away. Mm-hmm. If you moved the uterus up some, it would divert the menstrual bleeding to the nose, and that was like a healthier menstruation. The nasal menstruation.
Well, that's wild, man.
Yeah, that's not.
And inaccurate, right?
Yeah. Yes, honey, that is inaccurate. You can't divert the menstrual blood to your nose by holding something that smells bad under your vagina.
I would have guessed that. I mean, had I been.
Do you want me to write that down?
No, maybe cross-stitch it on a pillow. Just help me remember.
Okay, great. All in all, Pliny had about 55 different herbal recipes for nosebleeds. So
effective, you know.
So the next time you have, like, a week of vacation, my recommendation for you, get Pliny's book, get a nosebleed, try out all 55. Let me know what works.
Our rule cure-alls cure nothing. We need one that's like, if there are 55 cures for something, there isn't one.
There isn't a cure.
There isn't a cure.
And also, Pliny probably came up with it.
I want to know about nosebleeds. Like, really? Like, what's going on in there?
Well, before I tell you the truth about nosebleeds, Justin, why don't you follow me to the billing department?
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. So Sid, what I have to know about, like, nosebleed. Can you tell me anything about them? Like, I just want to know how they happen.
Well, Justin, I'm going to tell you, like, how they actually happen, but we've only made it through ancient times. We've only made it through Pliny. We still have the ever so gross and disturbing Middle Ages to get through.
We need, like, I want a Middle Ages sound effect, because, like, it's about to pop off. Anytime you get to the Middle Ages, like, if you thought things were maybe getting better, the Middle Ages is like, It's like that computer program on Dennis Nedry's computer when you try to break into it. Nope, things aren't getting better. It's the Middle Ages. Buckle in.
And the sound effect would be, like, something like, burping and rotting and, like putrefying.
A burp and sound, and then a woman saying, "It smells like rotting! The burp! So I mean!"
And it just, in post, if you could just, like, I just whip did. That up for me.
No okay. need.
All right, just excellent. Perfect.
I did Great. It perfectly.
That was exactly what we were looking for.
It smells like rotting, doesn't it?
So, in the Middle Ages...
rotting mutton that burp did!
When we put lots of gross stuff, various places on our very gross selves, cranial moss was a very popular remedy for bleeding.
I feel like we've heard about cranial moss.
We have. We talked about cranial moss in a past episode. And you may remember it is the moss that grew on skulls. Mainly from, like, people who were hanged and then were left outside.
Yeah, a lot of gross patients to get that cranial moss.
To rot in the elements, unfortunately, that would happen.
Sorry about that.
Nobody was cleaning up. And so,
sorry to leave you to rot, but we may get a nosebleed later.
So. And we need your skull to grow some moss so we can take the moss off of the skull and then stick it up our nose.
Yeah.
And if that's not bad enough, there's something worse. Something, again, that we've talked about before. Do you remember mumia?
That's like mummy jello, basically.
Yes. So the melted down, gooey black remains of mummies, or mumia, was also used for bleeding. So if you didn't like the idea of getting moss off a dead guy's head and sticking that up your nose, how about an actual dead guy melted down into a gooey black residue that you could stick up your nose?
If you don't want to take the time to go find cranial moss to stick up your nose, how about some Doug up there? What if you just found some old Doug? Just put some Doug up there. I'll take care of it.
Poor Doug. Do you think when Doug was alive, he had any idea that someday his last, like, his last job, his last earthly task would be to be melted down into goo and stuck up somebody's nose to stop bleeding?
If Doug had that thought, I bet he was an interesting cat. Like, not like invite him to parties interesting, but like, if you ran into him every once in a while, you might be like, "Hey, Doug, what are you thinking about right now?"
Can you imagine, like, all his friends would, like, sit down for drinks later and be like, "Anybody got any good Doug stories?" And be like, "Oh, man, you will not believe what Doug told me."
And then later his friends like, "Does anybody have any good Doug? My nose is bleeding."
Now all I can think about is if I'm going to end up as a gooey black substance. Can we
stop with the existential crisis and maybe do our medical history podcast? Okay, it would be like amazing.
I think the least disturbing treatment I found from this time period is actually there was a belief that somehow toads were associated with being able to stop bleeding. Like, for whatever reason, toads were just thought to do that. And so, like, you could, you know, just hold a toad on something that was bleeding or something like that. But the most popular way to do it was to get dead toads that were dried out and then soak them in vinegar and then either put one on your forehead or you could, like, string them up like a necklace and wear them around for fashion and also to stop nosebleeds. And also, if you don't want friends.
Yeah, you don't want anybody around. Oh, that's Stinky McNosebleed. Everybody hates his guts.
Why isn't he cool like us and just stick Doug up his nose?
Just put some Doug up there. It's no problem.
In the 1600s, a less disgusting but maybe also less effective plan was to just write some magical words on your head.
I mean, by the time your friends finished doing that, it would probably have stopped.
In following years, it was suggested that maybe you could, if you were having a nosebleed, you could get some of the blood that was coming out of your nose and fry it up and then sniff it, and then that would stop the bleeding.
That's what blood sausage is, right?
Nope.
Is that what black pudding is? That's what black pudding is, right?
Not that.
Basically that, though,
no,
right?
I'm pretty sure it's not nose blood.
Okay. I'll take your word for
it. I think it does involve blood, though, right?
It's just like congealed blood, yeah. With black pudding in it.
And, but with like other stuff, right?
Probably some onions.
It's congealed blood and onions?
I don't know. I've never eaten it.
I don't think it's nose blood either way. Like, I'm 99% sure it has nothing to do with a nose.
Don't write in and tell us never eating anything called black pudding. Sorry. Tell me whatever you want, and it's not going to change my opinion.
But if you enjoy that, please feel free. I am not not here to tell anybody what kind of pudding they can or can't eat.
Go hog wild.
There was also a thought that...
We ate an old pudding that we let rot in our closet for 6 weeks, because that's what Mary Berry said today.
That's a Christmas pudding. That is totally legal. It was soaked in booze. You set it on fire. Legal. It burned for a while.
A good while, right?
Yeah, it burned for a while.
It burned for a while, I thought.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was also thought that maybe you could take some scarlet silk thread and tie it into exactly 9 knots and then wear that down the front of your shirt, and that would stop future nosebleeds.
Probably not.
I wondered if that was one of those like, cures like kind of things, because like if you had like a red string down the front of you tied in knots, it would kind of like, it's like a whimsical like take on nosebleeds.
Like
it sounds like something like that they
nosebleed.
Like an interpretation you'd see on like Project Runway of like, it's like a nosebleed, but it's red silk. And like Tim Gunn's looking on, looking very worried.
Designers, it's perfect.
I don't know.
It's genius.
No, I think he'd be very worried about that. You could also try to find an ash tree, but it needs to be an ash tree that is either 1, 2, or 3 years old, no more, no less, and then cut some of the bark off of the 1, 2, or 3-year-old ash tree and apply that to the inside of your nose at exactly the minute that the sun enters Taurus.
Like, I don't understand why these people find the time to do this in case of nosebleed. Just like, here's Justin the Elder. Just wait for like a second. And fine, now it's over, just like that.
Justin, do you know how much, like, okay, let's say that I don't know, I'm a doctor, except I didn't have to go to medical school really or know any medicine. There weren't any like real great books for me to study or any science behind anything I do. Do you know how much crazy stuff I could make up in that time? Like, if I was just making stuff up, these people had all the time in the world, they were just making it up.
Yeah, that's fair.
That'd be great. It would be awful. But I feel like it would really stimulate me creatively, though.
Yeah, you could really open yourself up to a lot of avenues of healing that may or may not work.
In the 1700s, there are two different French surgeons named Belloc and Belloc. And you can't see that one ends with a C and one ends with a Q, but they definitely do.
Yeah, I'll bear witness for you.
Yes. And they are both credited with the invention of like an instrument, a curved instrument that you could use to kind of place a plug in the back of your nose to stop bleeding that was coming from further back in your nose. Mm-hmm. A lot of bleeds come from more anteriorly, further front. But sure. But you could use this instrument to put something way back there. And there's this huge dispute over which of these bright Frenchmen made this very clever device. Actually, I saw it referenced as like the Belloc B with C and Q at the end.
Sure, with like a little slash, or just throw them both in there.
Just throw them both in there. And it became one of the most illustrated medical devices for like 150 years in medical textbooks. One of the you were sure to see a picture of Belloc's, you know, I don't know, whatever curved nasal plug instrument. Mm-hmm. And so you'd think that this would be like a big deal, like which French dude made this, they both want credit for it, but in reality it's almost it was almost never used, so I don't even know why we care that much.
Why
about who made
it heavily illustrated then,
it just looked really great,
fun to draw,
it was lovely.
Yeah,
we didn't have a lot of medical instruments, so we drew what we had.
Sure.
Most docs just use like a catheter because it was a lot easier to just place that up there.
Mm-hmm.
In 1807, there's a description of a balloon made out of animal intestines that you could like stick up the nose and inflate, and then that would apply pressure and stop bleeding. And throughout the 1800s, you see even more like balloons created, caps, even like condoms. And then you start to see rubber used instead of animal intestines. And this idea of like a balloon that you could inflate in the nose and that would apply like pressure all the way around.
Okay.
Would be more helpful.
I give up. Like, what do we... So what do I actually really do?
Okay, so let's say that you do have a nosebleed. One, how about let's try to avoid it first.
Okay.
So to avoid having a nosebleed, you want to keep the inside of your nose moist, especially this time of year. Like, the heat in our houses makes the air really dry, and that makes you more prone to nose bleeding because there are a lot of blood vessels inside your nose, and that skin, it's a very fragile area.
Okay.
And so those vessels can bleed easily with some irritation or dryness. So, like, just plain old, like, saline nasal spray can be helpful.
Okay.
You know, not that. No, don't not use Afrin. That Afrin. No, just like nasal saline. Keep your blood pressure controlled. So if you've got high blood pressure, keep it controlled.
Maybe there's probably better reasons to do that even than not getting a nosebleed.
But you could make that argument. Also, don't stick stuff up there.
Hey.
A lot of nosebleeds are caused by local trauma. So, you know, like fingers.
Get that out of there.
Get it out of there. Just don't stick stuff up your nose or in your ear.
Get it out of there. Sawbones.
You should now. Let's say that doesn't work, and you do get a nosebleed. You should apply pressure and lean forward. Don't lean back.
Okay, but leaning. I wanted to ask you about this when I heard we were doing the topic. Is this like a recent? I mean, probably not recent development, but like, has this been in flux or whatever? Because like, I have very clear memories of being a kid and everybody leaning back.
I just think people don't know.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, you don't want to swallow all that blood, you know? I mean, that's the thing.
I mean,
thing.
Yeah, like, I understand
you're not,
why
you're
now.
Not leaning, just... You're not leaning forward because that's going to stop the bleeding faster. The pressure is what's going to stop the bleeding, hopefully. That's the plan. It's the blood that is going to flow until the pressure works. You don't want to swallow it because it makes you feel sick.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not good for you either,
like,
right?
Swallowed blood... I mean, it's not gonna kill you. Like, it's not gonna hurt you to swallow, but it just makes you're gonna get really sick to your stomach probably.
So you heard it here first. Lean forward or lean your head back. It does not make that much of
a
difference.
No, just don't swallow that blood. You're gonna get sick. Just lean forward. If you are on like a blood thinner that would make you bleed more easily or for longer, or if the nosebleed doesn't stop, go see a doctor. Because it is important when you are bleeding that it stops at some point. Remember that. We have these great little rhino rockets, they're sort of like tampons that you stick up your nose.
Okay.
And we have other more sophisticated, like, nasal tampon-like devices. There are balloons that are inflated. You can use things that are sort of like the catheters we use for bladders that have, like, little balloons on them, similar to that you can stick up in your nose and inflate, and that'll apply pressure. It's just different ways of applying local pressure. There are a lot of different ones that are, you know, fancier. If all else fails, we can do stuff like cauterize, like burn some things in the inside of your nose to stop it. Or we can even do procedures where we embolize, which means, like, we clot off, like, intentionally put a little embolus, like a little clot inside a blood vessel to make it stop bleeding. That's not usually the first stop. That's like a last resort, but we can do that kind of thing. Because we hospitalize people for nosebleeds.
You mentioned nasal tampon. Could you use like a regular tampon?
You could. I would not advise, if it is to the point that you're thinking about sticking a tampon up your nose, I would go seek help. Because one, that's not a good thing to have to do for a longer period of time. You know how we talk about, like, toxic shock syndrome and things from, like, leaving tampons in too long?
Sure.
You can, like, there are similar things if you leave something up your nose too long.
Okay.
Like, you just, in general, don't want to stick things into orifices and leave them blocked off for a long period of time. So if you're bleeding enough that you're like, I'm going to stick this tampon up my nose, just, like, come
go see
me.
Yeah.
Come, yeah, let me help. Let me help you out.
Exciting news. Do-do-do-do. This is an exciting news break. From Justin McElroy and Sydney McElroy. So you remember the Sawbones podcast episodes featuring Sydney and her sister Riley.
Also known as probably like your favorite episodes.
Well, those two cats have finally done it. They're making a podcast of their very own. Sydney, 30 seconds. Tell us about it. Give us the elevator pitch.
So our podcast is called Still Buffering. It's a sister's guide to teens through the ages. And it is basically Riley and I sharing information about our experiences as teenagers then and now. And hopefully I give her a little sage advice, hard-earned wisdom through the years that she can benefit from. And in exchange, she tells me what's, you know, cool today.
These are we got another show in the McElroy line called Schmanners, hosted by my brother Travis and his wife Teresa, who's kind of a etiquette expert, I think you could call her that. And it is a show about etiquette. Both of those are launching next week. Still Buffering is going to be on Tuesday. Schmanners will also have an episode Tuesday, but typically it'll be Friday. But Still Buffering will be every Tuesday. And that is on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find it right now. They've got a little teaser up. You can get that at iTunes. Just search for Still Buffering. And if you like what you hear after the Tuesday episode, a rating or review would be awesome.
And if you like the art for Still Buffering, my other sister Taylor did that.
So there you go. It's a family affair here. So make sure you get Still Buffering and Schmanners. You can go subscribe to both of them right now, so don't wait. And thanks to MaximumFun.org for being so kind to us and letting us hang out in their palatial podcasting
universe,
if you will. And thanks to Taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And I think that's going to do it for us, folks. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.